One of the things that I absolutely hate most about winter is how dark it gets so early. Anybody with me on that? You losing daylight? My dad always says the worst part is he gets up and goes to work in the dark and has to come home in the dark. And it kind of encapsulates us, and it makes us feel a little bit kind of sad and down with all the time in the dark. And it's interesting how, you know, to go out and do something at, say, 6, 7 o'clock at night during the summer feels like the middle of the day. You know, of all the daylight, we still have energy. But somehow in winter at that same time, it feels like the middle of the night. The darkness changes our perspective, changes how we experience life. And the only thing to really get us through that darkness, of course, is the Packer season. Although now we got the Bucks, though, too, so that's a good backup. But as we move along towards Christmas Day, the days keep getting shorter. Right, December 21st is where it turns around. And it's an interesting paradox that as we're in preparation for the Word to be made flesh, for the light of the nations to come into our world, the days are getting, literally, the days are getting darker and darker as we move towards the light. What a powerful reminder it is then that the light of Christ overcomes all darkness, and that even just one candle can illuminate a whole room and can bring light to our world. Darkness is scary. I remember as a kid always needing a nightlight because I couldn't fall asleep if the room was pitch black. I didn't like it. Then I got to the seminary and figured it was time to get over that, so I got rid of the nightlight. If you have kids, you might yourself, you recognize that sometimes those nightlights are important. And this week, we're presented with the figure of John the Baptist, and we're reminded of the darkness that enters our life due to our own sin. Sin, by definition, is turning away from God. And so if God is the light of the world, then we enter into darkness by turning our back on the light. The beauty is that we are never stuck in darkness, no matter how scary it may seem. There is no sin that we stay stuck in, because God offers light. Looking at John the Baptist, he's one of the more interesting characters in the Bible, the last of the Old Testament prophets. As we're told, he dresses in camel hair, lives out in some weird remote place, has a strange diet of locusts and honey. I'm not sure what locusts are, but I don't want to find out. You know, it almost sounds like an episode of Survivor. Yet, he's the one who's called to herald Christ's coming. He's kind of the strange man out in the desert. That's the one that preaches preparation for the Lord. And what message does he preach? It is a message of repentance, which is also a message of hope. And really, repentance is quite simple. It's the recognition that we are infinitely loved by God, and that sometimes we reject that love through our actions, and then that we are in need of his mercy. And so this week almost has a little bit of Lent infused into Advent. And as I said, we're not stuck in the darkness because we are constantly given opportunities to repent. The moments where God makes himself present over and over. And when we do, we set ourselves free. The weight's been lifted. We can see that light at the end of the tunnel. Then we have hope. Our vision becomes clearer. And think about it. We don't have to save ourselves. Jesus already did that. Our task is to accept his love. So when he is born, we can accept him in our hearts. And with Advent, we recall his first coming 2,000 years ago. And then we look forward with hope to his future coming at the end of time, whenever that may be. And of course, we celebrate his continued presence in our lives, that ongoing coming that is perpetual. John the Baptist lived a life of repentance and helped others to do so as well. We know that he had quite a large following. And we also know how the story goes for John. Later on, he would be arrested by King Herod, put into prison, and of course, then beheaded. But you think of that time in prison, John must have wondered if this was really part of God's plan. As he's sitting in the darkness of that prison cell, he must have thought, could God really want me to be unjustly imprisoned? What purpose does this serve? And scriptures tell us that John got word out to some of his friends to ask Jesus if he was really the Savior. And so, in other words, John was kind of asking, was this worth it? Did I have it all wrong? Is this all for nothing? And Jesus' reply is, tell John to remember what he has seen and heard. The darkness that we experience in our lives can cause some of those same questions. We look around our world and we wonder if it's all worth it. We see the problems, the headlines, the violence, the fighting. We wonder where God could be in this all, and we wonder, what's the point? Do our prayers even work? We look around our church, and with every new headline, grand jury investigation, bishop that resigns, statutes, limitations that change, a new case of whatever it might be, with every one of those stories, we're punched in the gut once again. And we fall to our knees. We look down. And we feel like we're in the depths of darkness all over again. Is God really operative in a church where these kind of abuses happen? Those are natural questions. And I dare say that they're even good questions as we wrestle with the darkness of our lives. The example of John the Baptist not only teaches us then to repent for the sins of our own life, but as we think of ourselves as the body of Christ, the wounded body of Christ, we're given the example then to listen to Jesus' words. Tell John to remember what he has seen and heard. We must remember what we have seen and heard, because we have seen and heard Jesus countless times. And as the body of Christ, we must remember the truth in the victory of the cross over sin and death and the work of salvation that began in that little town of Bethlehem. The night might be coming quicker these winter days. The sun might take longer to wake up in the morning. But the sun does rise. That's a guarantee. The light does shine, even on the cloudiest of days. And God is here. The work of our repentance is an ongoing process that is a part of our spiritual life through all seasons. But it's true that we're a bit more intentional during this Advent season. If you're wondering where to start, I think you've already done it. You're here at Mass, being fed and nourished at the table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist. This is the source and summit of our faith. This is where it all begins, and this is where we are called to conversion. And perhaps this is also the time, as we reflect on repentance, that you feel tugged to avail yourself of the sacrament of reconciliation. That great sacrament where God's love and forgiveness is so powerfully given to us. It is a place that is free of judgment and condemnation. Rather, it's a place free of those and filled only with God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. In the confessional, it's there where we turn around out of darkness into the warm light and comforting embrace of God. This week, our parish will be hosting, on behalf of the parishes in the area of eastern half of Waukesha County, 12 hours of reconciliation, much like we did in Lent, where the Archdiocese sponsored it last year. You can come anytime you'd like, to any priest you'd like, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Free of judgment, free of shame, fear of the social pressures of whether you're here or not, or a penance service where you're looking to see if your friends are here. All those things, they don't matter that day. You can come here to your home, your spiritual home, and let God embrace you. You can repent, and we can turn away from the darkness. So as you continue your Advent preparation, maybe you feel that calling to come back to confession. Or maybe you will continue as part of your regular routine. Either way, as a church this week, we pray over John's call for repentance, knowing that, yes, there is darkness, but the light of Christ dispels all darkness, just as even a small nightlight sheds the fear for a little child. Even though the days are getting darker, the light around our Advent wreath is growing. And then soon and very soon, the light that these candles represent will once again be born in the heart of every believer.